The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you, SB Nation AM. This morning, I am Tony D. Ron Culver alongside... I don't know if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. How do I feel today? Ooh, let me think. Oh, elated. Listen, the team is lousy. And if you're a smart football fan, you know the team is lousy. It doesn't take a genius to spot there's more glaring holes on that team than just at quarterback. But at least the head coach is now saying, all right, you know what? We drafted a guy 7th overall. You know what? He's our quarterback. This Nathan Peterman guy, it's done. The dream is dead. The fantasy camp approach to Nathan Peterman, like, oh, let's give him a chance. It was like a contest he won to get become a starter in the NFL. But now they're going with a rookie quarterback. The only concern I would have, this is the concern whenever you play a young kid, is, oh, are our team so lousy that this is just going to be a kid that falls apart and doesn't develop into the quarterback we thought he could be when we drafted him because we didn't put things around him and he lost some confidence. And before you know it, he's holding a clipboard for his 5th NFL team in 6 years and we never hear from him again. Because the league is just flooded with those kind of guys over the last couple years. But this is the right thing to do. This was the right thing to do. They didn't try to force Nathan Peterman down the throat. And you know what they didn't do, which is what I like? They didn't say, you know what? This is not going to be about Nathan Peterman and winning games. This is going to be about development of Josh Allen. And we feel like Josh Allen needs to be on the bench, even if the starting quarterback is awful. Even if the starting quarterback is terrible, we feel like he just needs to grow into the position slowly over time. No, this is now business. This is now the league. This is when you say to your fan base, you know what? We're going with the kid. We're going to go with the kid. And you know what? It may not be great. But there's reason why we drafted him. And now you get to see it. And you'll get to see it develop. And I think NFL fans, for the most part, are smart enough to go, all right, I can buy a little time. In Buffalo's case, though, they did go 17 years without making the playoffs with numerous quarterbacks. And now you're asking him to hold on for a few more. All right, we'll talk more about the NFL as they head into Week 2 in tonight's game between Baltimore and Cincinnati, the leaders in the AFC North, thanks to a tie in Cleveland. Hey, SB Nation.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. As we get ready for Week 2 in the NFL season. Ready for tonight's Baltimore-Cincinnati clash there, Ron? Huh? Paul Brown Stadium, you know, will be rocking in the natty.
Come on now.
Ravens and Bengals. It's the rivalry you've always wanted, but were afraid to ask for it. Marvin Lewis, still the head coach of the Bengals for his going into his 117th year. Who was the last Bengals coach besides who did he replace? Dick LeBeau?
Sam Weish?
I can't remember. Forrest Gregg? I remember the last coach of the Cincinnati Bengals before Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis has been around forever.
Probably the longest tenured coach right now, right?
I think he is, yeah.
Between him or Belichick.
I think he is. I think he got the job 99 or 2000. I have to look it up, but I think it was the early 2000s he got the job. So remember, he left the Redskins for the gig. But he's been there forever and a day. I mean, forever. And Baltimore seemed to have solved the Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson problem. Flacco had a really good preseason, so it's nothing like using a draft pick to get a quarterback to motivate your quote-unquote elite franchise quarterback in Joe Flacco. But that's your Thursday night affair tonight. Any first-year coaches in the NFL going to win this week? Mike Vrabel in Tennessee?
No, he doesn't have a chance.
Nope, he doesn't have a chance. He's got nobody now. He's got nothing going on. Marcus Mariota's got an injured elbow. Taylor Lewan's got a concussion. Delanie Walker's out for the season. I don't know how Tennessee's going to win 8 games this year. It's amazing what a week one injury will do to you. Frank Reich, though, on the road in Washington, can he beat the Redskins? Probably not. I'm trying to think of anybody else. I'm trying to find Matt Patricia's not beating San Francisco. I can tell you that right now. John Gruden, I don't think he's going to win in Denver. I think Denver's a better team. Who else? Matt Nagy in Chicago against Seattle.
I don't know.
He might go 0-7 again.
That one, but that's probably the only game. That one could be a possibility.
That might be the game Monday night. Them at home, they could beat Seattle. Seattle's weak. They could beat Seattle. He might win there. I'm trying to think of anybody else because I was really fascinated by the 0-7 start for the first year coaches in the NFL yesterday. I was really starting to think about that. That's really, really hard to do. Like you think you, because the NFL's the difference between, teams is really, really narrow. It's very, very thin. And you would think, I mean, even though first year coaches are still trying to develop their roster and trying to get the hang of it, you always are going to see coaches win some games they probably shouldn't definitely win some games they should. But to go 0-7 in week one, that's pretty remarkable. Plus the schedule where nobody, none of the coaches played against each other. You have 7 new coaches in the NFL. There's only 16 games, and yet all of them played, veteran opponents. So that's kind of an odd stat. But I'm wondering if it can be repeated this week. I mean, I doubt it, but I mean, I think somebody's going to emerge with the victory. But Arizona and let's see here, Arizona, the LA Rams, Detroit, San Francisco. I'm trying to pick one, but I can't even pick one. I think the Chicago-Seattle game seems to be the best bet. That seems to be the best bet.
Put your money on it.
I'll put my money on it. Yeah, I might actually do that.
So your longest tenured coaches, you ready?
Yeah.
Who do you think is number one?
I would think Marvin Lewis is number one.
He's number two.
All right, Bill Belichick is number
Bill
one.
Bill Belichick's number one.
He got the job in 2000. In 2000. Okay, and Marvin Lewis got it in 2001.
2003.
Ah, shoot, really?
Yeah.
All right, so he's been there a while, but not as long as I thought. Yeah, maybe it just feels like a long time.
No, that's a long time. It's 15 years.
Okay, but here's the deal. Is it because, here's an interesting question. Because the Bengals have been terrible and haven't been as good as they should be and haven't won playoff games and certainly haven't won Super Bowls, do I feel like Marvin Lewis has been there longer because of his kind of non-success? And I don't feel that way about Belichick because he's had tremendous success?
Well,
I don't say that about Belichick. I don't say, I feel like Belichick's been there forever. But I feel like that way with Marvin Lewis. And is it because they're not that good? They haven't really been good. They've been mediocre pretty much his whole time.
Like I was going to say, put it to you this way. The top five, yeah, Belichick, Lewis, then Mike McCarthy.
Okay, when did he get that job?
2006.
Okay.
Sean Payton was hired in 2006, then Mike Tomlin in 2007. I'll even go next one down the list, John Harbaugh, 2008. All of those coaches have a Super Bowl championship.
Yeah, that's right.
And Marvin Lewis, their claim to fame is they have 4 AFC North championships.
Yes, that's right.
They haven't made it to the conference championship.
Yeah, they're notorious for, in his time, he has gotten them to the playoffs a number of times only to lose immediately as soon as they get to the postseason. they lose immediately.
So I think that's where, you know, it's kind of surprising. Because, I mean, McCarthy's been on the hot seat, it seems like, every single year now.
All the time. And Mike Tomlin to an extent, but Steelers fans sort of know that they don't knee jerk react firing coaches. So people in Pittsburgh have not liked some of the things Mike Tomlin has done, but they know they're stuck with them for a long time because the Steelers don't do that. So in Cincinnati, maybe just the organization, that's not, you know, they just keep believing in him, or he sells himself well. He just keeps telling them they're close, because it's in that Cincinnati is in that situation where you can almost sell like, we're not quite there yet. We're getting there. And you're afraid if you fire a coach and start all over again, you don't want to start all over again. But I don't know. Maybe Marvin Lewis is just a good coach and they recognize it and they figure it out. But he just hasn't had success.
I think it's one of those, you know, just it's bound to happen. Because, the Bengals haven't been terrible.
No, they haven't been terrible. That's right. They've never been like 3-13 or anything like that.
Yeah, they've just been mediocre. And he has a winning percentage. I mean, it's a .527 winning percentage, but... The coach before Marvin, Dick LeBeau.
Dick LeBeau, okay.
He was the guy that Marvin replaced.
2003, huh? All right. Well, that's still a good clip. That's still a good run. In this league, if you can get 10 years out of a head coaching gig, my God, you've bucked the odds. That's a fantastic return for your
things.
Dollar.
If you're like a Belichick, or you just have a consistency of winning, of course you're going to have your job. But then if you're like a Jason Garrett,
you've been around.
Why he has his job?
Yeah, and is Garrett on your list somewhere? 2011, 10?
What did Garrett get? He is 2010.
Okay, 2010. I'm always trying to remember like when I heard the news or where I was when I heard the news, and that's the only way I can sort of put into context the longevity of these coaches.
Yeah, on this list, he's seventh on the list as far as longevity. He and Pete Carroll.
Yeah, Pete Carroll's been around a while, too.
Became coaching buddies at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. That's right. So, no, I think the week two games are actually, there's some good ones here. Carolina, Atlanta's very good. I mean, and then this Patriots-Jacksonville rematch. All right, look, it's not for the AFC title and whatnot. I mean, Brady says it's going to be emotional. I doubt that. It's a regular season game. It's not... And by the way, can we, you know, have people in Jacksonville ever really upped the emotion of a home football game in that city during the regular season? I can't remember the last time they did. All right. So if they did, it went way over my head. So I don't think that he's going into hostile territory in Jacksonville. Maybe one piece of tarp comes off the upper deck for the Patriots being in town. But I don't think the emotionality of the game from the fan base is going to make this one special. All right. I mean, it's a good game between two good AFC teams in the regular season that happened to play in the playoffs last year. I think the Steelers have to be really careful this weekend. They're playing Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is turning into an extremely dangerous quarterback after just 1 week. He throws that deep ball really well, and no one in the Steelers is capable of containing Tyreek Hill. I mean, I think Hill is going to run wild over the Steelers. I think the Steelers have to be really careful here, because if they drop to 0-1-1, you watch, that Browns tie could keep them out of the playoffs, Rod Culver. That Browns tie could be the factor that keeps them out of the postseason. They're not careful this year. Now, Le'Veon Bell will make another tweet about him being needed in Pittsburgh. Now, Tyreek Hill is really dangerous. I mean, this is going to be an interesting game. Tampa Bay and Philadelphia, if the Bucs are real, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is rolling along, we'll have to do that against the Eagles' defense. Some other good games coming up in week two. All right, 800-777-2907. We are just getting started here in SB Nation AM as we roll along. We'll talk more about the NFL, but I want to get into some college football coming up next, because there is a game on the slate this weekend that I almost feel like I should be compelled to watch as punishment. I'll tell you what it is next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, before I get to this punishment game for college football coming up on Saturday, like the one you would say to somebody, you know what, I'm punishing you, here's the one you have to watch. I got to talk about this because we run a program promo on this network occasionally for Matt Harab's overnight show. And in it, there's a clip of him talking to his producer, Bobby Beats, about tartar. He doesn't know what tartar sauce is, but he said in the promo, and I just heard it, and I told Ron, I said, I just burst out laughing. He put ketchup on salmon. And I thought to myself, all right, man, if you love a condiment, go all in, baby. But I have never heard anybody put ketchup on salmon. Matt Harab, listen, my man, that is fantastic.
No, he has
well done.
He has a love affair with ketchup.
And you know what? God bless him. Absolutely. Gonna just the idea of putting ketchup on salmon is so foreign to me. It's unbelievable. But if he loves ketchup, put it on everything. Put it on everything.
I wouldn't be surprised if he throws it on his pancakes.
How great is that?
I mean, I know without a shadow of a doubt, he can go to a sandwich shop. You know, just say he just got like a normal ham and cheese. He's throwing ketchup on that. No mustard. You can't be bothered with that. He's throwing ketchup on everything.
I'm sitting here during the break, just kind of tooling around, getting some stuff organized. Usually the stuff is just white noise. And I hear this. I hear him say he puts ketchup on salmon. I burst out laughing. I mean, I must have heard this. I kind of heard this promo a number of times. I just didn't really pay attention to it. I burst out laughing. And my first thought was, you know what, man? I have mad props. Mad props to Matt Harab. I mean, fantastic. To put ketchup on salmon and to admit that he puts ketchup. That would be like a hit. I wouldn't admit that if I, because it seems like such a culinary faux pas, right?
Oh,
it feels
definitely.
Something you should absolutely do not admit. You know, like you wouldn't go to a restaurant, order salmon and go, can I have ketchup? You'd probably go, all right, in the restaurant in front of people, I'm not going to do it. If I took this bad boy home, I'd be lathering it up in ketchup. But here, I'm staying right. I'm staying normal. I don't want people to see this sort of ketchup thing I got going on.
Yeah, and, you know, I know he's done this as well. And that's kind of a tough thing to do here in Texas. But he has admitted to putting ketchup on steak.
Oh, fantastic. I don't think you should put anything on steak, personally.
No.
I don't think steak sauce. If a steak is cooked right and is seasoned, you don't put anything on it.
You don't need anything.
You don't need anything. If you have a steak and you season it with salt and pepper, you don't even have to go crazy with like the Montreal seasoning or anything, or you don't even have to go marinade. If you just salt and pepper the thing and let it set, get room temperature, let that salt absorb into that meat, and you grill it properly, you shouldn't eat any sort of sauce whatsoever. None. My family loves to lather it up with A1 or whatever we have in the house, but I keep telling them all the time, you shouldn't need it. You shouldn't need it. But they don't
listen. But if, you know, if a steak has gone a little too long, you got to throw a little A1.
Oh, you got to
moisten it up a little
bit. No, absolutely. I agree with that. Like if you're keeping a steak, like when I cook steaks, I sometimes I'll have leftover. My wife doesn't like steak. Like she doesn't like big steaks, but I'll cook a big steak. So she'll leave a piece and I'll put it in the refrigerator for steak and eggs the next day. But you're right. When you get that on the cast iron, grill it in the morning and you got to kind of loosen it up a little bit, a little A1. That's perfect. That's absolutely fine.
But and I will say this. I mean, it could just be a rumor, and I may or may not have seen it, but I think there is a area in this studio that's it's almost like a ketchup drawer.
And he's all, and that's his?
And it's his. Man, I mean, he just loaded it up and said, you know, hands off everyone.
I have this now need and desire to know more about his ketchup fascination. Like the salmon thing just threw me completely off. I just was so I can't begin to tell you how blown away I was when I heard that. Now I want to find out some other crazy things.
When you listen to those promos, and if you guys are out there and you're listening to those promos, he leads an interesting life.
He does lead an interesting life.
I don't know
if
how well you've listened to everything. I mean, he I don't know how much laundry he actually does. His laundry basket was a coffee box. Like his coffee maker came in a box, and he just used that box as his laundry basket.
He's living the young bachelor life.
He was taught. He learned not too long ago how to use a dishwasher.
I still don't know, and I've been using one for 20 years. My wife says you load that thing way incorrectly.
It bugs me. There is a pattern to loading a dishwasher properly. It's like packing. It's like I just don't get. when you pack up a truck, say you're moving, you're going to find, it's like playing Tetris. You're going to find every possible way to save space. And the same thing, you got to put the same effort into a dishwasher.
If you came to my house and just observed me and without any comment, just watched me, and we were leaving for a road trip, you would say, that Tony D is one of the most sexist people on the planet. He is making his wife pick up those suitcases and putting them in the back of the of our car.
I'll say that anyways.
But the reason why is my wife won't let me near the car when she's packing. She won't let me near it because I always will say, don't put that. You shouldn't put that. No, let me help you. And she will not, because again, she's like Rain Man. She's like Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man. She can see the puzzle before it's even put together. She looks at all the suitcases and boxes, and she's like, I know exactly how this is going to fit. Don't come near me while I'm doing this.
Did you play Tetris?
Nothing. I love Tetris. Bum, 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 bum,
yeah,
bum,
come on
bum,
now.
Bum, 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 bum. I loved it. That's what she does. She's already figured it out. So I don't go near it when she packs the thing. So, well, good for Matt Harab. Ketchup lover, living the bachelor life. I think the Tetris was a conspiracy by the Russian government to put us all to sleep and in a trance while they were trying to slowly take over the country.
I think it was their first attempt at collusion.
I do too, because I couldn't stop playing this stupid thing. I don't care what was in front of me. I wouldn't look up from a Tetris screen.
Oh,
the house
could
have been on fire. I wouldn't look up at a Tetris screen. Are you kidding me? I was glued to this thing.
And now I try to show my kids, like, this is the game we play, and they're looking at, like, ugh. You just move blocks around.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
who wants to play blocks? I'm like, oh. It
this was addicting. Nothing better than lining all that bad boy up and getting that one big stick to go down.
Yeah, you had to do that.
Boom. Land up the four lines.
Yeah.
Bam. It was the best. Especially when you're getting close to the top. You're like, oh, I need help.
Yeah. Like, starting to panic a little bit.
Starting
to get the Tetris sweats.
Oh, you do. Totally. Then you get to put one of the pieces in the wrong spot, leaving an open block. Oh, that was the worst.
No, that's why I'm the one who does the dishes. I'll be the one that packs the car up. And then my wife, this is where it boggles my mind, because I love her to death, and she's the one who, takes care of all of us, but she can't pack a dishwasher to save her life. And I think she does it on purpose.
I do too. She's like me. I do it. I'm like, I only could get three cups in the top rack. I don't know why. And then my wife goes, move. And I go, yeah.
She'll actually comment, and she gets annoyed with me sometimes. She's like, why are you rearranging that? It's like, because there's like, seven more plates. I can fit them in here.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly. Yeah,
what my wife says. I'm trying to save costs. I don't want to have to keep running the dishwasher two, three times.
Why does the dishwasher take an hour? Shouldn't it just take a couple minutes?
Exactly. When you go to you're working in a restaurant?
Yeah.
So remember the dishwasher back in the restaurant back behind
there?
Yeah,
they just stick a thing in, close the thing up. A couple minutes later, it's all hot and ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, they were a little damp, but that's why you left them over there to dry just a little bit more.
Yeah. I don't know why my dishwasher takes an hour. Takes forever.
It's a conspiracy. It's the Russians.
Exactly.
The Russians want us to use all our electricity on dishes.
All right, so I got to get to this game. So this weekend, if you're watching college football, there's some good college football games going on. Boise State, Oklahoma State, pretty good one. Auburn and LSU, if you love SEC ball. Maybe Ole Miss could give Alabama a little bit of a scare. But here's one of the games. Texas and USC. Here's one game that if you were punishing your child or punishing yourself, that I think you should sit in front of and watch from start to finish. The Rutgers Scarlet Knights going up against the Kansas Jayhawks.
On that game.
What in the world? This game is so bad that it's almost like I should watch it just to see what will happen between these two failing programs. Although everyone's saying Rutgers is going to be better. I don't know. Kansas is abysmal. They did beat Central Michigan on the road for like their first road win in a decade, but they lost to Nicholls State to open up the season, and Kansas has been just a terrible, terrible, terrible program. And Rutgers has been just a beat-up school for the Big Ten for the past couple of years. Not since Greg Schiano was roaming the sidelines at the State School of New Jersey have the Scarlet Knights been any decent. And now they're both terrible, and they're facing off against each other. I don't know who to go with. I almost want to flip a coin, but I think I might take Rutgers. I think I might have to see if I can watch this just for a little bit. I don't know where it will be on my television, but just to see this game. This is the punishment game of the weekend. If you had tickets to this game, would you go?
Are you predicting baseball score or slightly better?
That's a good question. Are they both so bad defensively that even their inept offenses could score against them? Or are their offenses so terrible that even their defenses can stop them? That's the million-dollar Rutgers-Kansas question.
That's your bet. If you're going to bet, I'm sure BetDSI has something on that.
Yeah,
One of their crazy prop bets.
I agree. This could be a fun prop bet game for Rutgers-Kansas. How many penalties? How many turnovers?
Which is probably the only way you could watch it is if you have money on it.
I would say so. I might have to go down that road with this
and
one.
You might have to illegally stream it because I'm sure it's not on your cable provider.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. This might be one of those announcerless games. Now, if I was still living in New Jersey, I'd get this game in some capacity.
But and, make still, a, and make a
Kansas
Saturday of it.
Rutgers, good Lord. Good Lord. The lowliest game of the weekend, it's called. That's pretty bad when you're... It's not even bad game of the weekend. When they call you lowly, that's just insulting. But you know what? It's Kansas-Rutgers. I think it fits the bill. All right, coming up next, I want to get into Major League Baseball because there's one team that is getting very, 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 very nervous as we get to October.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us, SB Nation AM, as we roll along this morning, 800-777-2907. You want to get involved in the program this morning? Also, you can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Don't forget the second N, or you won't get it.
I won't see it.
You won't see it. At all. All right, so I want to get to Major League Baseball because, look, football season's underway. We're all really excited. But this is an exciting time for baseball because if you're invested in the sport even a little bit, this is the payoff time. I mean, this is when you get to the last couple of weeks of the season and you get into the playoffs. So if you've got a team that's near the top or kind of fighting for a wild card spot, this is when you start really paying attention. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was in 2007, I was working in Colorado Springs, and we were having one of those radio promotion meetings, right? We were getting the sales and promotion staff together to go over some of the ideas that we were going to do for the fall. And one of the sales gals, she was talking about the Rockies, and she didn't really know a lot about sports, but, you know, she was throwing out the Rockies. And she said, well, you know, the Rockies, should we be doing something with them? Should we be doing any remotes with them in mind or any watch parties or anything like that? And me and my program director at the time, we were like, no, there's no need to be worried about the Rockies. Well, we were wrong. They won 14 out of 15 to close out the season, and they won a one game playoff against San Diego, and they made it all the way to the World Series. We could have fallen asleep at that time. Like it was about this time in 2007. You know, about 2 weeks to go, that kind of thing, two, maybe 3 weeks to go. And we would have, you know, fought. We were just thinking, oh, the Rockies will probably go 500, missed out on the playoffs. They had a pretty good season, but not a great season. They ended up winning 14 out of 15 and made the playoffs and won the division. So looking at the standings right now, the Red Sox have got 100 wins on the year. That's the first time they've been able to reach that mark since like the 40s, which is really amazing. All the good teams that they have. 100 wins is very hard to do in baseball, but still, I thought the Red Sox would have done that sooner than that. But the team that is really, really nervous right now are the Yankees. Not so much missing out on the playoffs. They're not going to miss out on the playoffs. They're going to make it in. But Oakland is right behind them. The A's are a game behind them in the wild card standings. And if the Yankees are not careful, that play-in game, that one-game winner-take-all, get-into-the-divisional-series matchup is going to be in Oakland. And you don't want that if you're the Yankees, especially this season when things were really rolling along before Aaron Judge got hurt, Didi Gregorius was out, pitching was a problem. The Yankees are sliding. Jake Odorizzi had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning last night against the Yankees. That lineup was getting no hit. The Yankees are not going to miss out on the playoffs, but you don't want this season to end to a scrappy Oakland A's team that will win games and beat you no problem. The Houston Astros have still not been able to put away the Athletics despite going 9-1 over their last 10. Look how good Oakland is. This has been kind of a running gag with Ron and I since the A's started emerging that we can't name five Oakland A's. I don't think we can name four. But the Oakland A's, the Houston Astros have gone 9-1 over their last 10 games. They just recently completed a six-game road trip where they went 5-1, swept the Detroit Tigers, but the A's have gone 8-2 during that same stretch. You cannot bury this team. The Astros are still just three games up in that division. That's a bad weekend. And that's a bad weekend away from losing out on that division this late in the season. There is still some good, important games to be played in Major League Baseball. Not so much in the Central, where the Cleveland Indians are rolling in that division. But in the West, in the NL West, where the Rockies lead your Dodgers by a game and a half.
No, it's pathetic.
Rockies. Oh.
No, I'm proud of my Dodgers. They finally beat the Reds.
They did finally beat the Reds. I mean, the Reds have been a thorn in their side for a while.
The Reds are 63-84, 22 games out of catching up to the Cubs in their own division, and they were one game away from sweeping the Dodgers this season.
Yeah, crazy. That's crazy. You know, the Rockies a couple of years ago were not a very good baseball team, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember hearing, like, reading blog posts like, they should trade Nolan Arenado. I'm like, trade Nolan Arenado? Are you insane? I was like, but they were so bad. And now the Rockies have just waited it out. Now they're in first place by a game and a half over the star-studded Dodgers.
Yeah, and I really do. It's going to come down to the wire for both teams, but I'm almost giving the edge to the Rockies just because they seem to be playing right now.
Yeah, they're good defensively. They can hit, and their pitching is good. And they got Wade Davis as a closer, so they're a complete team. And you know what else? I want the Colorado Rockies to be in the postseason because I know Denver after spending 10 years there. You might get, hey, it's game three of the National League Championship Series, and we are snowed out in Colorado in October.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I mean, I remember doing a show in Denver where I woke up that morning. I was doing 9 to noon, and I woke up that morning, and I teased this segment by saying, if the pundits had their way, if the pundits were correct, this city would have made national news today. And that was kind of my tease. And the reason is because it was game one of the World Series. People thought the Rockies that year were going to go to the World Series. And it had snowed like 3 or 4 inches. It was in October, and it was 3 or 4 inches of snow on the ground. And I said, we would have made national news. Everyone in the country would have been saying, look, the World Series is in Denver, and Coors Field is covered in 3 to 4 inches of snow.
It's great baseball weather.
Great baseball weather.
Yeah, forget the boys of summer.
So you never know. You never know snowball. What could happen.
Now, if you're playing in snow and say it keeps snowing, I mean, I know they got to cancel the games, but do you think Major League Baseball has a contingency plan to play with an orange ball?
Ah, that's a good question. That's a good question, right?
Because if you have a white ball, let's say there's like a little dusting on the ground, it's like, oh, well, you know, late in the game, we got to finish this game.
Hey, they will tell a pitcher to take like a white wristband off his arm and stuff. Like, they don't like any sort of white distraction with that baseball. So, yeah, if snow's coming down and it's on your cap and sleeve, we can't keep playing. It's too distracting.
Better, you know, say there's like a small little dusting, not enough to cancel the game. Say it's late, and it's like, you know, because, I mean, baseball is quick with rain delays. Oh, there's a little sprinkle. Can't postpone. But say there's, you know, just it's late in the game. The game's tied. Eighth inning. Like, we have to finish this game. You know, let's just try to ride it out and see what happens. And there's a little dusting on the ground, just enough to make it white. You hit a ball into the gap. You know, maybe the ball gets lost.
Yeah. Or what if it's a little dust enough, a little bit of a dusting, and the ball lands and rolls and collects all of that snow that's on top of it, and picks it up and he can't even throw it. It's freezing and it's soaking wet with melted snow. That's terrible.
Yeah, and that ball was feel like a rock.
It'd feel like a stone. That would be so awful.
I would hate to be a pitcher at that point.
Oh, God. I'm now completely rooting for the Rockies to make the World Series just to see if I could see this weather anomaly. Game. snow game. In the Central, the Cubs lead the division by one game over Milwaukee. St. Louis three and a half behind. I think the two wildcard teams are probably going to come from there. Although, I don't know. I mean, the Dodgers and Diamondbacks, have, if one of them gets hot and plays pretty well, I mean, it's Milwaukee, St. Louis, Los Angeles are wild card contenders. Philadelphia is kind of out of the mix right now. They're, you know, 7.5 back.
And I say, I think that's what's dangerous. If the Dodgers can't win the division, you know, if they're able to slide into that wild card, that's going to be a fun series if it's against, you know, say against Milwaukee, because you have one game.
Yeah, that's right. That's the beauty of it.
You'll throw Kershaw out there and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and then you always have that question, right? I mean, how much – it's one game. If you have a lead, do you bring in the kitchen sink in terms of the bullpen? I mean, do you throw in everybody you possibly can just to get through it? I mean, there's all sorts of questions managers have to deal with, because on the flip side, you want to set your rotation, but you can't because you have this one game and you have to get through it. So you have to sometimes – you just got to get through it any way you can and then figure out the rotation later. It was a great concept. At first, I was nervous about it, but now I love it. I embrace it. I think it's fantastic. The Yankees played the Twins last year. Baseball is best, and I've always said this. One of the things about baseball is it rarely happens in other sports, right? Like when you watch the Super Bowl, you don't all of a sudden rediscover the nuances of the NFL. Like, you know how the game is played. You know the strategical value of the game. You've been watching it for 16 regular season games and then the postseason. When you get to the Super Bowl, there's no need to sort of remind you of the subtleties of the game that make the difference. You kind of got that. Baseball is the exact opposite. Regular season games become so monotonous and become so boring and become so routine that you often forget the subtleties of the game that make it awesome. And then when you get to the postseason, where you're hanging on every pitch, where every single shift in defensive movement or any sort of double switch or change in batting order or anything like that is really magnified, it really brings out the beauty of the game. And I know he has his critics, so don't get me wrong, but remember when Tim McCarver would do these, he would try to give you like baseball one-on-one during the playoffs, and he would really break down, and he would show you like, here's a right-handed batter, and this is what they're doing. They're setting it up with a breaking ball, breaking ball, breaking ball, and then they come back with a fastball. And all of these little tiny things that you just don't care about in July or August get magnified in the postseason, and that's where the beauty of the game shines. And that's what I love about it. This one game playoff, whoever's in it, the Yankees are taking on the A's, if the Dodgers are taking on the Brewers, however it works, it is edge of your seat, can't turn away, I can't miss one second, this is making me nervous, for 9 innings.
Yeah, it's a game seven.
Yeah, it's a game, and nine, there's no, like, one inning could blow up and you'd be done, and it just, you just pace yourself with emotions. It's great. It grips you. And it just, I think baseball hit a home run with this, no pun intended, hit a home run with this because I love it. It breaks people's intended. Hearts, but I love it. Pun intended. I should have said touchdown. Or they made a 3-point field goal with that one.
That's right.
But I think it's great. I think it's great.
Real quick. I have the play of the night.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen it because you were mentioning, you know, the Twins beat the Yankees yesterday.
Right.
And you brought it up again, Twins, Yankees, you know, last year. This had to be the play of the night.
1-for-2 tonight, and the pitch, a swing and a line drive, left center field, deep in the gap. That ball drifting, Hicks dives, and misses the ball. Astudillo loses the helmet, and the prettiest hair in baseball is heading home. He's going to score, 3-0 Twins.
Now, you may not know... But you may not know the full context of this.
Yeah, give me the context of that one.
You have to see the video. Oh, no, it's not about the hair. You have to see the video. He's a catcher for the Twins.
Okay.
He is a large individual.
He's huffing and puffing around the thing?
I'll put him in the realm. I mean, not as big, but slightly smaller than Bartolo Colon, but same body build.
Oh, God, really?
He is a catcher on first base. Who was it? It was Kepler, I believe, hit the double that... You know, kind of sliced away from, I can't remember, the Yankee outfielder. And went off the wall. He ran from first. You have to see the video. He is huffing and puffing, but he is moving. And he is determined. He looks like a man running from a predator.
That's awesome. Like, yeah, I gotta check that out because as a big chubby guy who runs, I'd love to see it.
It is really funny to see him, you know, going from second to short. That's when the helmet falls off. He rounds third beautifully, slides into home okay. But yeah, you could totally tell that was the most amount of running he's. And I think I have a theory behind it. I think that his girth helped him move because I don't think he could slow down.
Like he had momentum, like some sort of physics. All right, I will take a look at that.
There's no stopping him.
All right, 800-777-2907. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I saw the video of the catcher for the Twins, Williams Astudillo. He's a big boy, and you're right. He just carries so much girth that the natural weight in motion tends to stay in motion, that physics sort of line. He is not going to be deterred.
And you're almost fearful that if there was a play at the plate, that we would be talking about the end of a career for Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, it might be an end of a life.
Could be.
Just could be one of those. Could be one of those things.
Yeah, It might have been like that iconic Pete Rose in the All-Star game.
Yeah,
coming down stumbling and then dropping a shoulder.
Was it Bob Fosse that was in his way, and he got Pete Rose plowed into him, and that was it. That was it for him. This guy's a big dude.
He's a catcher. I mean, they're not expected to run.
No. He does remind me of like any Disney kids movie where there's always the fat kid that's like everyone's rooting for or picks on in the beginning, but he's like comes through with he does something athletic that a fat kid shouldn't be doing.
You know who he is? He's Big Al.
Yeah, hey, that's right. He's Big Al. There you go.
Yeah, and he hits dingers.
He hits dingers. That's great. Major League Baseball. I was at a Yankees Twins game in April. At the stadium. And little did I know that the Twins, because Twins got rocked in that series. Little did I know that the Twins would come roaring back in September and to dissuade them, derail the Yankees' attempt to secure a home field in the wild card game against the Athletics. Well done, Minnesota. I think it took 2 of 3 in that series. Well done, Twins. God, it's gonna be tough. New York is gonna go crazy if the Yankees lose that one game playoff to the Athletics.
Well, what if they don't make it all together?
If
they don't make it all together, how crazy would it be?
Man, there was a time where the Yankees playing the Red Sox in May, people were like, "This is a big series," and my Red Sox fans were like, "No, it ain't. You'll see." And sure enough, they were right. Now there was not a big series. The Yankees were, Red Sox were a much better team. 100 wins already on the season. Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM rolling along. If you want to get to us on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver, Ron with 2 N's, it's SB Nation AM.